I don't know what you said at your tables in terms of if you felt like, you know, what the message was. I pull that message together in the fact the way that we look at ourselves many times is not accurate. It's pretty critical. And that's what we live by. And that's the mirror we see a lot of. And our actions and reactions, I think, come from what that image is. It was interesting that someone else giving just their impression, and it's just someone who's just drawing forensically. I thought that was a really cool touch to say, okay, what do they see in that person? And when that person saw that other picture, I remember that one woman who just said, that face is so fat, that's like very narrow person, you know, that she had had. But then she saw someone else far more attractive in the eyes of the other person. And a lot of times that is true. Other people see in us things that we don't. And so that's why even doing that character exercise, I hope even in a simple way that breathed into you a little bit that, you know, people do see things that are true about you. And that is really awesome. And the thing that's cool is what you think about yourself is critical. What others think about you is encouraging. What God thinks about you is essential. He sees you accurately. He knows every bad thing about you. And he still concludes, I love you. You have value. I give you value. And we talked about at summer camp how the love of Christ is usually something we dismiss as like childish. You know, we learned that a long time ago. It doesn't mean anything to me. It is actually the foundation of our lives. Or we will find something else to try to prove and replace that hole that we all feel. But the love of Christ is exactly what we stand on. Our Creator, Judge, died for us so that we might take the garbage in our life and remove it. He replaces it with His righteousness, and He calls us sons and daughters. That's what we stand on. But something I want you to recognize, what we talked about in terms of areas of character, you may not think about this, but some of you were born, well, we're all born ugly, actually. My granddad was a country doctor, and people would all the time say, isn't that a pretty baby? And he would always smile, you know, and go, yes, ma'am, that is a beautiful baby. But he'd always say, they all come out about the same, you know, and they develop, you know. But some of you are more physically attractive than others. Some of you are taller than others. Some of you are faster than others. Some of you do math incredibly well. Those are all things that had no connection with you. They were given to you. You know, there are a lot of people who are trying to get taller by thinking themselves taller, but it's not working too well, okay? I know a lot of you are even paying good money to get faster, and some of that's working out, some of it's not. But you know what's really cool? Your character has a direct relationship to you. You can grow your character by your choices, by how you respond. And that's what this series this month is about. Is, are you young men and young women of character? There's a slide I had on there. I don't know if it's the next one up, Rob. Nope. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Yep, right there. Okay, I don't know if you guys have seen these. Mediocrity. It takes a lot less time, and most people won't notice the difference until it's too late. Okay, so that's, you know, successory opposite. Okay, so you know what's funny is mediocrity is not tolerated in our culture, except for spiritual issues and character. Have you ever thought about that? You are pushed to be excellent academically. You are pushed to be the God's gift as an athlete, you know? You are not pushed in your character. You are not pushed in your walk with God. Those are seen as lesser than. And I'm here to tell you today, this is something I want you to take real seriously. They are the most important thing in your life. If you are walking with God in a deep way, He will lead you. I have no doubt. if you are responding to God, if you're hearing him and responding, he's actually building your character. So it's already built into his plan. It's not something you have to set out on a course. And actually, the hard things in your life that you're facing right now are all a part of him molding you. And he has a goal. He wants us all to become the image of his son, Jesus Christ. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Okay, not girls, you don't have to look like Jesus. It's his character. It's what he's about, okay? And guys, he didn't have that long hair, okay? Just in case you thought that was where you're going. So that's where I wanted to start. Let me pray. Father, I thank you that you love us too much to leave us to our own devices, that you pursued us. And Lord, as we responded to you, you immediately invaded our life, changed our very nature, made us a new creation, began a process in us, gave us your Holy Spirit, sealed us with that Spirit. You've promised that you won't give up, you won't stop until you've finished it. And God, we often fight you in that challenge, in that change that you're trying to bring about. We often resist you, ignore you. God, I pray today you would awaken the heart of these young men and women to see what you're doing, meet you there, and allow you to help them become men and women of excellence in a very real way. And I pray you guide our time in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 31. Last week we looked at Job. And if you notice in chapter 1 of Job, it makes a very strong statement. It said he was blameless. And because of him being blameless, God was able to bless him. He was incredibly wealthy. And Satan's challenge to him was, you know, God, he's only doing that because you're blessing him. If you remove those, he would curse your name. And he never did. He struggled with the why, and God finally said, you need to let me be God. But you know what? He was a great example, a living proof of what does it look like to have character. And I hope you caught that. This week we're going to look at Proverbs 31, and if you guys have been around the Bible enough, you usually know that's code word for women, right? Like a woman thing. I want to clue you in that the first 9 verses are not about women. They're about men. And in the time that we have, I'm going to have to kind of cruise through some of this because we gave you a little extra time with being able to communicate. But look with me in Proverbs 31, 1 to 9. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. What, O my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. I think she said, what? Is like, what are you living for? What will your life count? You know, she was challenging him as the son of a king who would be king on how he was going to live. I gave you an outline there so you can sort of follow, hopefully, with what we're talking about here. But a couple quick things. Men of excellence, which is what she is challenging him to be, men of excellence guard themselves. Okay, they guard themselves. From what? Well, first off, they guard themselves from giving their strength to women. That might sound really kind of weird. Giving your strength to women. How in the world does that happen? I will say this. Men of excellence, are to give their strength to a cause, to a purpose, and not to passion. Passions, plural. Okay, but most men give their life to different passions, and that's what ends up ruining them. Passions to what the Bible calls strange women, which are not their wife. There are women who are a black hole to suck the life out of you. I hope that's none of the women in this room. But how do they do that? Well, I know a young man a long time ago who was in the youth group. He was on track to play in the NBA. He got involved with a girl. He became a father. His whole life plan changed. He gave his strength to now raising a family. That was not necessarily what God's plan was, but that's where he went. Secondly, by guilt, there are many young men today, way too many, who have the life of them, the energy and passion of the life sucked out because of guilt. Men are driven by respect, and whether it's pornography or even just, you know, continually pursuing women who they really have no intent of having a real relationship with, it's the guilt of it sucks them of the energy. And if you're in the middle of that, you know what that means. Or thirdly, how do they give their strength? There are many who just give their energy to continually pursuing women in an immoral way, and their behavior and that lifestyle becomes an addiction. That's how men can give their strength to women. Samson was one such man. He was a great prophet that God wanted to use. He gave him probably the strength that probably has never existed in this world. One woman took him down because he was proud and arrogant and did not see the nature of the woman that was really all about killing him. He thought he could handle anything, and he could not. That was a foolish woman. Secondly, I want to point out too, those can be real or virtual women. Obviously, when I talk about pornography, there are many men who are being sucked dry, strength-wise, respect-wise, out of people who don't even exist. And that's a shame. It's crazy. Number two, men of excellence guard themselves from ways that destroy kings. Now, this is something that might surprise you. And this is where I think you're going to need to go in the coming days when, you know, our world legalizes pot and makes it no big deal. But I want you to notice what it says here going on. We're going to read through the rest of it. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink. For they will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. So what is that saying to me? Well, it's interesting to me, ways that destroy kings. Number one, there's a long list of them, whether it's pride and arrogance that Saul displayed, greed and lust, which Solomon eventually succumbed to, fear, which caused many kings to go ahead and make alliances they never should have made, or the reality of, if I don't deal with my enemies, they will deal with me. Okay, so you can't stop fighting. Kings have to be on their guard. They have to always watch. But number two, they live like kings. Okay, they live like kings. I love the phrase, it is not for a king, oh, Lemuel. In other words, he's saying, his mom is saying, royalty has a higher standard, a higher calling. Much like in medieval times, when they would talk about men, there were common men, and then there were knights. And knights were men not just because they could fight, you know, by the sword, but they had a thing called chivalry that everyone recognized, raised the bar, but it was not their competency, it was their character. They are the ones who are willing to die for others. They are the ones who are willing to stand in and say, justice is what will rule. So it was a knight that people looked up to and said, that's what you should aspire to. And that's what God is saying to you, young men. He's saying to you, do not settle for what the world does. You have a higher calling. You are my son. You are the son of a king, and I want you to live a standard that is higher than that. And so he calls them out on drinking, strong drink and wine. You could include, you know, the same arena as pot. Those are for things, for those who are perishing. He says, sure, if you're dying, maybe you just need to deal with your pain. And if you're afflicted and you just want to get away from it all, yeah, that's why people do that. Or if your life is so bitter, you need another way to survive. He said, that's not what kings are about. And that's not what I want you to aspire to. But that's the plague of our area right now. If you were to talk to administrators, and I've talked to many in a lot of the high schools around here, whether it's pot, you know, bud, even now cocaine, you know, why in the place of greatest education and prominence and opportunity are people getting stoned and drunk? Because those things are true. Life is bitter. Life is hard. They have no purpose, and they're like, I want to medicate because life sucks. Should that be true of our young men here? No. If you know Christ, you know why he died for you, you know the command he's given you. He's given you a purpose that will outlive your life and outlive your family. And he's calling on you, don't suck into the world. Don't let them pull you down. Live like a king, and don't settle for less. So why would I tell you not to drink and not to smoke? Because it's not fit for you. You have a higher calling. He goes on then and says, they have the calling of a king. If you succumb to those things, you'll forget the law and you'll pervert justice. But the calling of a king is to speak for those who can't. If I were to ask you in your high school, who are people who can't speak? You're like, well, I don't know any, you know, people who are mute. Maybe not. But you know the people who are alone and everyone talks about? There are certain groups of people that just get picked on. You know, bullying should not happen if believers are standing up for what they should do. You as a godly man should go, I'm not going to allow that to happen. It's just not going to happen. You should not allow girls to be taken advantage of. Why? Because that's a justice issue. What gives a guy the right to take advantage of a girl, date rape or otherwise? And in this area of tolerance, it does matter. You are called to stand up and say what is right. Will you do it now and will you do it in the future? There's a whole group of people who can't speak. They're called the unborn, who are aborted every year. Does anyone speak for them? And there are many, honestly, you know, if you really think this one out, I think there are many who can't speak because they're afraid. And I would challenge you, young men and women, speak for the Lord for those who can't, because you'll give them hope as to how. And they will see that, you know what, it's not that crazy hard. I can do that too. But men of excellence, you have a calling. Live it. Fulfill it. I want you to see that. The reality here is this is living proof. Men of excellence are living proof that God is real, God does work, and how he wants us to live. You get to show them. Secondly, women of excellence. Okay? It's the rest of the chapter. It starts with a question. We'll actually start reading it. An excellent wife, who can find? It's a great question. Her worth is far above jewels or rubies. It is hard to find an excellent woman. It's interesting, there's also another passage in Proverbs 20 where it says, a faithful man who can find. So it's not just women. Finding a faithful man is very hard. So young ladies, I would never get in a relationship with a man that you could not follow. And men, to find a virtuous woman is also extremely hard. There are most women in our culture settle for so much less. And so, young women, I'm going to challenge you right now in terms of your excellence and where you're going with it. For most, beauty is just skin deep. But character comes out of obedience to wisdom. So, young women, if you know something to be true, God says, if you'll obey me in it, I will then enable you to take that next step. I will open up my word, and you'll hear more from me. But if you are basically, I don't care, I don't want to hear you, and you know what the issues are. Young women, you know there are certain things that you want, and you're not sure God wants it. So you tell him, hey, maybe later, but that will keep you from being a woman of excellence. You need to yield to the Lord. Just like you want a man who will yield to the Lord, you need to yield to the Lord to be a woman of excellence. It's interesting to me. Well, let me finish the statement. Character comes by obedience to wisdom. And in the New Testament, it tells you how that works. It's real simple. It says, when you hear God speak, you then do it. And it compares it to us trying to build a foundation for our home. And it says, you know, anyone can do it in sand. It's real easy, and that's what most do. It doesn't hold up. But when you take what God says and you obey it, it's like digging in rock. It's really hard. It's hard for you to change habits. It's hard for you to change thoughts that you've held on to. It's hard for you to give up certain things. But God says, as you obey me, you are digging in the rock of your life. And that's how character gets formed. There's a term, if you want to do a word search or Bible study on it, it's called proven character. That's where God puts you through things. And because you are responding in the midst of hard times, or you're responding at a time when there's great temptation, it then starts becoming who you are. Not just what you do, who you are. You are a woman of humility. You're a woman of kindness, etc. But it's what you're allowing God to build into you. It's interesting to me, in the verses we're going to read here, it nowhere talks about her beauty. It's interesting to me. We'll keep going. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax. She works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are clothing. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her by saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." I appreciate you letting me read through that. Now I'm just going to try to comment on it. The summary statement was that charm is deceitful, meaning it lies. You can be incredibly charming and a wicked person inside. You notice that when people are generally nice, and then something happens and mean woman comes out. It's like, where'd that come from? You know, well, it's always been in there, okay? Beauty is vain in the sense that it's changing. It's not vain in that it's wrong. It's just the reality that it's fleeting is another translation of that word. It is not what you build a life on. It is not what ultimately defines you. But the quality that really is the hallmark of a godly Christian woman, a woman of excellence, is a woman who fears the Lord. So let me walk quickly through four areas in terms of where a woman's character comes out in this show. Number one, it's with God. She fears God. When she fears God, we're cruising through here. I like that. Thank you. She fears God. That means fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's where she starts. Her respect is for the person and the power of God. Her respect for the person and power of God is greater than anything else, whether it's people or circumstances. A woman who fears the Lord has fought and won the battle of fear. We talked about fear at the winter retreat. Fear, I believe, is the number one enemy of most women. It's the easiest thing for them to yield to, because a woman, the way you are wired, you are responsible, and that's awesome, okay? You want to do the right thing, and you want to be prepared. But you care too much, and it goes into fear, and you're trying to do things to make sure that I'm really want to be really sure. Well, you're really sure is the Lord. He is your rock. And when you fear God, it means that nothing else, you fear nothing else above that. Fearing God puts everything else in the right perspective, and you're able to be at peace. You're able to be calm. You're able to see things accurately. You're able to make wise decisions. It starts with that. And that's something I want you to take really seriously. Therefore, she is a woman of great faith. In verse 25, she smiles at the future. Why? Because she has great faith in the God who holds her life together. She is not afraid. She has the energy for her task. She has dignity and strength. She has no doubt and no drama. That gives her peace, confidence, and poise. And honestly, young ladies, you'll notice many of the women of the Bible were considered drop-dead gorgeous. They were the ones chosen by kings when they searched all over. Why? Because there's an inner beauty, and you got to hear me on this. There's an inner beauty that comes from walking with the Lord that you can't put on with makeup. There's a quality that comes out of you, a joy, a peace, a radiance that the world sees. And honestly, that's why the world's guys are going to hit on you. Do you hear me? And if you fall for that, you're not wise. But your beauty comes from the inside. Number two, her husband. She respects him and submits to his leadership. Now, I want to note that obviously God does not call all women to be married. So this isn't the standard that you have to be married to be a woman of character. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that God has called most of you to be in a relationship with a man, and there's a battle there that many women are not doing very well with, okay? It's the issue of respect and submission. We all fight to be independent, men and women, okay? But Notice what it says about her. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her. Well, why would he trust in her? Well, things that kill trust would be if she's overreacting, an emotional roller coaster. If she makes emotional decisions that then all go wrong. If she's not discerning in her decisions or her words. If she gossips or tears down her husband or her family. Or if she has character flaws that are just really hard. She's lazy, arrogant, or rude. A husband can't trust a wife like that. But a woman of great character, he can. And that gives him confidence. And that trust is the currency of every relationship. And that's why in her relationship with her husband, it's awesome. She does him good all the days of her life. She gives him respect and she responds to his authority. She publicly praises him and he publicly praises her. I think it's interesting. She has chosen well. It says that he is a man who sits with the elders. He is someone the world even recognizes as a leader. And my challenge to you young women is I would never date anyone you could not marry, and I would not marry anyone you could not have full confidence that they are fully yielded to the Lord and they are fully committed to your best. Outside of that, I would give them no time or attention. But many of you will be tested to settle for far less. Don't do it. Living proof for a woman is the power of God in a woman who can respect and submit and bless her husband. The third area is her household. It's interesting, it says that she manages her household well. And I actually broke this into two parts, so it's not the total right word that I love for. But verse 27, it says she looks well to the ways of her household. She has fought and won the battle against laziness, against being a busybody. And there are four things that define it. She knows the condition of her home. She's very well aware. Whether it's food that she gathers from even afar, or clothing that she herself makes. She is gifted in what she does. She rises early and she retires late. Why? Because her family is her focus. She manages that. That is her domain, both her household and her children. Secondly, she is strong and works hard. She's incredibly capable. She is skilled in working with her hands. I would challenge you young women to learn as many skills as you can, especially as it relates to you being able to be someone who can support your family. She provides for her family, even sells linens beyond. She manages fields, buys and sells them. She is wise and passes it on to her children. That's incredible. A woman of wisdom is hard to find, but she does it. She teaches them both in what they need to know, but she teaches them by the way that she lives, because it says kindness is always on her lips. She has demonstrated what that really looks like. She loves her children and she makes a safe haven for them. In verse 28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. And honestly, that is a sign that she did it well. Because we all know very well, especially at this time in teenage years, there are not many teenagers talking about positive about their mom. They're talking more positive about mom than dad. But a lot of them are like, mom is just way on my back. Nag, 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 nag. That is not what her children are saying. She has loved them, but you know what's interesting? In her battle, she has not made them the priority of her life. God has not called mothers to have that be the only priority in their life. Her priorities spread from her husband to her children to her household. And the last one here, number four, is community. She cares for the poor. She fights and wins over selfishness or preoccupation with herself. She extends her hands to the poor. She stretches her hands out to the needy, which means she sees the need. And she has a heart to serve. Many only look out for themselves. That's what it said about Timothy. He's the only one who will naturally care about you. Everyone else is only caring about themselves. She responds to the need. She extends her hand in material assistance. And if you'll notice, there's a little bit of difference. She extends her hand to the poor. She extends her hands to the needy. What do needy need? They many times need a hug. They need personal involvement, not just materials. She does both. She's hospitable and resourceful. She's able to use the abundance that she's created for her family and bless others beyond it. She's living proof of great character. And honestly, here's the deal. If that was happening in most of our homes, would we really need the government to intervene to help care for the poor? I don't think so. I think we'd have a lot of it that we will have addressed as believers. Let me close with this. Proverbs 31 woman is someone who is, that's the evidence of a life. This is not something you should be tomorrow. but it should be something that should inspire. But when I look at her character, she's trustworthy, respectful, kind, hospitable, hardworking, industrious, talented, strong, dignified, servant-hearted, discerning, disciplined, purposeful, God-fearing, willing to sacrifice, beautiful from the inside out, and rare. I hope it's what you girls want to be, and I hope it's what you men will choose to marry. And I want to throw this out to you, and we'll have the time to explore it really far, but I want you to consider the woman Ruth. She really was this woman. The story of Ruth, real simply, is her husband dies. She's in a foreign land. She's committed to him and to his family, and she says to her mother-in-law, who's now going to go back to their place of birth, I want to go with you. I want your God to be my God. And when she goes there, she doesn't look for others to care for her. She goes out and she gleans in the field. She works with her hands. They notice her character and they notice her beauty. And one of the great men of that area, a man named Boaz, pursues her because of her character. They marry. She's in the line of Christ. She was the things that Proverbs 31, a lot of it talks about. And that's where I would challenge young ladies. That's something that God wants for you. But it's a choice. It doesn't just happen. It happens by what you know God having said to you, taking it seriously and saying, God, I will do that. It's not easy. You need to, ladies, and this is where I would challenge you, you need to have really tight relationships with other girls that are not complicated and you're not trying to figure out their motives. It's just you need other girls to get in your life and go, you are on, girl. Keep going. Or to say, you know what? You are so off, okay? And call you out, okay? And say, girl, I'm not letting you get away with that, all right? Hope you like that. All right. You need that. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. If you close your eyes just for a moment. Young men, you choose excellence in a lot of things. God is calling you to choose excellence in your character. But that's a choice you have to make. I encourage you, young men, right now to talk to God. Tell him if that's what you want. And ask for his help, his grace, to do it. Ask for him to give you another like-minded young man who will go there with you, sharpen you like iron on iron. If you call out to God, he will hear and respond. This group desperately needs men of excellence. We have many good guys. We need excellent young men. Young women, I encourage you right now in the quietness of this moment to take heed to what is said. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting. What you desperately need is to fear God. Right now, I would talk to God about that. If you feel like there are many fears you're battling, ask him to help you put those to the side. Ask him to help you fear him alone. And in fearing him, realign your life. Ask him for faith to trust him on things that are hard and feel like you lose control. And choose to be a young woman of character, allowing him to use your parents, your siblings, areas you're weak, areas you feel inadequate, pressures, to mold that character in you. Let the beauty of Christ come out of you. Let that be what really adorns you. Father, I thank you for the privilege of working with these young men and women, that they have a desire to hear from you, that they gather, and they're willing to listen. God, I pray that they may be living proof that you are real, that you are powerful, and you are worth it. May they choose today, may we all choose today to live a life of excellence, not based on our performance, but God, the conduct of our character. God, I pray that you would help us to make that choice and commitment. And I pray your Holy Spirit would allow us to see fruit of it. God, let these not just be things we thought about, but Lord, let this be a direction for our life. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.